Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle The Riches of God. We who live in this materialistic age frequently associate riches with a dollar sign, but the riches of God are far greater, of more value, of more abundance. And God in His great abundance and His love to you and to me is very rich toward us. And we're going to consider the studies under these titles: Rich in Love. God is rich in love. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He's rich in glory. He's rich in wisdom and knowledge. He's rich in goodness, forbearance, long-suffering. And He is rich in provision. We're going to consider today the fact that God is rich in love. There's where it all starts. God is the very essence of love. And all these studies that we have, the titles that we have given to you, they all stem out of God's love. So the study today is very, very important because it brings before us that divine attribute of love. And He is the very essence of it. The epistle according to St. John lists God as the God of love. But first of all, in that epistle, he mentions God as the God of light. Now, that's an attribute of God, too. There are several kinds of light. There is physical light, there is spiritual light, and there is the light of God's revelation. Now, in John chapter 1, 1 John, rather, Chapter 1 and verse 5, we read these words: This then is the message which ye have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In John chapter 1, the same author, of course, in his gospel, the gospel according to St. John, he speaks of that light, the light of intelligence. In chapter 1 of John's gospel, we read there in verses 4 and verses 9, in speaking of Christ, he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, here's the one we're speaking of. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is the light of intelligence. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the light of intelligence. Now, he's not only the light of intelligence, but he's the light of revelation. In the Ephesian epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 18, we read about that kind of light. We read there in verse 18, Paul is writing, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened by the light of God, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And that was what Paul wanted them to know. There is indeed the light of revelation. He reveals the sin of the scribes and the Pharisees. He reveals to us our sin, he reveals to us our need of Christ, and he reveals to us how he met that need in Christ. Now, first of all, I think probably before we consider the fact that God is love and get back to our subject, we're going to pursue the thought a little. First of all, that God is light, because this is the order that is given to us in John's epistle. First of all, God is light. He's light to shine in our hearts. And then he is light to show us our way to Christ. He had to reveal our sins to us and show us what we are. And then after we realize the light of God shining into our hearts and showing us up for what we are, then we're ready to consider God's love that met our needs. Now we read, for instance, in John the 8th chapter, I'm not going to turn to it, but you remember there some scribes and some Pharisees brought a fallen woman, a sinful woman, to Christ. And they told him this, the sin that she had done. It was the sin of adultery. Now, they said, Moses said in his writings that she was to be stoned. What do you say? The Lord didn't pay any attention to them. He just stooped down and wrote in the sand. They kept pressing the question. Finally, Christ rose up and said to them, those men, he that is among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Do you know what happened? Those men went out of that presence one by one, stricken in their conscience. Now later, just a few verses on, Christ says, I am the light of the world. He is the light that shines down into our hearts. That is very, very necessary, that we see our need of Christ before we put our trust in him. We've got to have a reason to trust him. We've got to see our sins, and our sins will drive us to Christ. Now, we will consider the fact that he revealed this to those Pharisees, and he shined down on their hearts and shined into their hearts and showed them up for what they were. The Apostle Paul speaks of the light of God shining in his heart. 1 Timothy, rather, chapter 1, verse 15. Paul writes there, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He found out that he was a sinner. He thought he was all right, but God shone down into his heart and showed him up for what he was. Now let's consider God's love. In the fourth chapter of 1 John, that wonderful epistle where we read of the love of God. Now we read of the love of God in chapter 4. We read there, beginning at verse 7, Beloved, now let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth knoweth not, he that loveth not, rather, knoweth not God, for God is love. What a wonderful statement. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Oh, how that wonderful truth strikes deep into the heart. The Apostle Paul was able to say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, he appreciated the love of God in giving his own dear Son for him. That man who stood head and shoulders morally above those of his age. He said that touching the righteousness which is in the law, I am blameless. They can't point a finger at me. But God got to his conscience. Now let's speak a little of the manifestation of God's love. Certainly, the grandest verse in all the Bible in the manifestation of God's love is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, love is measured by what it gives. Love always gives. God gave all he had for you and for me. He gave his own dear Son. He's the Father of all mankind. And indeed, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4. Now, we've talked about his love to the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, let's consider a little God's love to his own people. We read in the fourth verse of the second chapter of the Ephesians epistle these words, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. First of all, we have considered God's manifestation of love to this guilty world, and then to his own people. We're going to expand upon that love for all eternity. Now, we not only speak of the Father's love to us, we speak of Christ's love to us. For instance, we read in John chapter 15 and verse 9 these wonderful words, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now, I want you to think of this, as and so, those two very important words linked together. Listen to it again. I'm going to read it again. The Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verse 9. I'll get it right pretty soon. As the Father hath loved me. How much did the Father love him? Can we put any measure on that love? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. All right? God gave his Son for us. His Son gave his life for us. He gave all he could give. He gave his blood. Could we ask Christ to prove his love any deeper than this? He gave his life. He gave his blood when he died on that cross for our sins. He took the blame for your sins and for my sins. Took the blame for them. Died under the penalty of the wrath of God, took the punishment that was due to us so we wouldn't have to take it. How does that make us feel toward the Lord? Do we love him in return? Herein is love. Not that we love God, naturally. But we are warmed by the love of God for ourselves. Are you warmed for the love of Christ toward you? There's the Spirit's love for his own. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, we read these words, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. For the love of the Spirit. Here we are, loved of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in this series of meetings, we're going to expand, we're going to realize that everything we're going to talk about of the riches of God stems out of the love of God. How and where we start is important. And certainly the right start is with the love of God. Our Father, today we thank you for God's love and for the many mercies that he's heaped upon us because of that love. In Christ's name, amen.